are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, in today's culture, so many young men feel pressured to achieve physical perfection early on, often equating muscles with success and masculinity. This obsession can lead to unhealthy habits, low self-esteem, and a distorted view of manhood. And so it's time to challenge the narrative and to remind boys that true strength comes from character, from faith and inner resilience. So let's talk about gym culture. Pastor Babaluki Museki joins us on the line. My pastor, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning and thank you for having me in the program.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. Pastor, it's an interesting conversation. Gym culture, physical fitness. On the one hand, we know that God expects us to be good stewards of, you know, the bodies that he has given to us. But we also know that society, the devil, has twisted things and can turn it into something completely toxic. Why do so many boys prioritize muscle building, especially at a very young age?
Well, there are actually several factors that contribute to that. Mm-hmm. The boys to build muscles usually stems from a combination of societal messages, mm-hmm. and also insecurities and low self-esteem. It's not simply a matter of a fitness trend, but often a quest for identity, for acceptance, and what you can call tangible measures of worth. Mm-hmm. Someone who doesn't look in type of way, they feel that they are worthless. And, these pressures come from all angles. You have social media that bombards young boys with these images of these men who have these big muscles and they have a certain kind of sculpting. Mm-hmm. So they are surrounded by these cultural messages that equate a muscular physique with masculinity, with success, yes. With power. And this ideal is reinforced by influencers and action heroes, especially in movies. Movies, mm-hmm. they especially, where you have these action heroes, Batman and yeah. all these other guys, they always look muscular. Mm-hmm. So this creates a body standard that feels mandatory, that for you to be a man, mm-hmm. you have to look like this.
Yeah.
And then you also have things like I talked about internal factors, internal motivations and mental health. For some, this mm-hmm. pressure escalates into muscle dysmorphia, where a person becomes obsessed with the idea that they are not muscular enough, mm-hmm. even when they are objectively strong. Sometimes it's about the looks, it's not about functionality, but strength, physical strength, is more about, can you perform a task? I'll just give a brief example. I had a friend who was so obsessed with how he looked, such that, yes, he looked muscular, but it's a simple task of digging a hole to plant a tree. Mm. He got tired quickly. Uh-oh. And I wasn't looking any big like him or muscular like him, but I could dig a hole half a meter and plant a tree. For him, it was just something like 10 centimeters and then he's tired. So I think we need to re-culture and re-educate the young men, the young boys, that strength, physical strength, is more about functionality, not about aesthetical looks.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because I do remember seeing something. I remember there was a video that I watched of those kinds of challenges. So you've got people, what was it? I think it was like a fitness challenge, I guess. And there's this one guy who is... like he's a massive unit, a big guy with big bulging muscles, and then he's competing with this smaller guy who is, I think he's like a professional mountain climber or something like that. And so they're testing each other in the gym and competing, like, you know, things like who can lift heavier. Obviously the bigger guy would, but things like who can run a longer distance, not even faster, but who can just run at a steady pace for a longer amount of time. The big guy could not do anything. Like within a really short space of time, he was exhausted. He was so finished.
Gassed out.
Yes.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, you're building these muscles, but your heart is not strong because your cardiovascular health, you're not taking care of that. You don't care about it. You just want the big muscles, even though, like you're saying, functionality zero.
Yeah, functionality zero. And you know, life is all about endurance. Can you do something for a longer period of time?
Yeah.
There are no shortcuts. So the way they get muscles is basically shortcut, and it's not functional. It's just for looks.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then the other funny thing is the fact that it is seen by many as a sign of success. But I also remember a time where it was almost like a man had to have a little bit of a pot belly to show that he's got money. When I was young, that was like a thing, especially if a man got married. If he didn't gain weight after getting married, it was like, is Makoti even feeding this guy?
Yes.
But how does chasing physical strength prematurely affect a boy's mental and spiritual health? Is there a connection?
Yes, there is actually, because this obsessive pursuit can have like serious life altering consequences that reach far beyond the gym itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's mentally exhausting, number one, because there's this constant critical self-talk and preoccupation with, you know, trying to get to the ideal body structure and the ideal look. It's also strongly linked to higher rates of depression, anxiety, and even suicidal thoughts. Because there is this compulsive nature of the behavior that lead to social isolation. You know, because once they get into that space, they skip events to work out or avoid being seen. I mean, I have a friend whose life revolves around the gym.
Mm.
Yeah, even on Sabbath morning, says, no, I have to go to the gym. It's like, it's a drug to it. It's addicted to that. So it does. And when you look at some historical figures who are in the bodybuilding, you know, culture,
mm-hmm.
you can see the damage that has done to them. Some have even gone to extent of using peppermint drugs and human growth hormones to bulk up and look. And over a long period of time, that debilitates. That has a debilitating effect, and their forms they collapse. I remember this young man. I don't know how old he is now, but at the time when he was still a kid, they called him the boy Hercules. His parents were so obsessed with how he should look, and he looked so bulky, and he was still a kid. But they followed him, and then later in life, now he has a pot belly. The last time actually, he had a pot belly, and they asked him, so why did you give up that? He said, look, it was just stressing, and I fell into depression. I got to a point where I was even using drugs because of the expectation to look a certain type of way. So it really has that, because truly speaking, we are not born looking muscular. And to maintain that structure, one has to sacrifice a lot of things that are even essential for them to function well mentally and even socially.
Yeah,
and spiritually, this will lead to what you call spiritual displacement. The obsession displaces core spiritual priorities because identity now becomes rooted in the external and transient, the body, rather than the internal and eternal. Being an image bearer of God, so then worship shifts from God to the mirror, and reliance moves from God's strength to one's own willpower, which is a fragile foundation for self-worth. Mm. I've seen these guys, and they actually even have mirrors in the gym. Like, the whole wall there is a mirror.
Yeah.
And you see people, you know, flexing and all that. It just promotes the culture of self-worship.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. And
so it has those effects.
So what does the Bible itself say about what true strength and what true manhood actually looks like?
The Bible redefines strength this way, in a fundamental way. It moves it from the physical to the moral,
okay.
From the you know, physical to the moral to the spiritual and relational realm. Jesus Christ is the perfect model of this redefined strength. Number one, strength is character. Biblical manhood emphasizes inner character, which is, you know, integrity, self-control, faithfulness, moral courage over external appearance. And secondly, strength is service, not dominance. True leadership is servant leadership, actually. Jesus demonstrated ultimate strength through sacrificial love, washing his disciples' feet, for example, in John 13, and also enduring the cross. So that is how the Bible measures strength. Can you actually do something for other people without you being at the forefront, denying yourself and your will and your desire for the sake of other people? That's what strength looks like. And even Jeremiah says that, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom or the strong man glory in his strength. But let him that glorious glory is that he knows the Lord and he understands the Lord. So we see also that strength is holistic, not just one dimensional. When you look at the gym culture, they define strength by physical looks. And that is a twisted way of viewing strength. The Bible cites people like David, who was a warrior and a poet, and Jesus, who confronted injustice and worked with compassion. It shows that godly strength balances conviction with tenderness and protection with empathy. So strength is multidimensional, it's multifaceted, it's not just one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, our ultimate example, he modeled at least six key aspects through self-control and sacrifice. You see this in Matthew 26. Secondly, leadership through humility and servanthood. John 13, I mentioned it earlier on. And then you also have the defense of the weak and confrontation of injustice. You see that in John chapter 8. So that's how Jesus is actually modeling a healthy biblical masculinity. And number four, you have this healthy expression of emotions where he wept because his friend Lazarus died. We have this culture whereby the Indo-Haikal, you know, men don't cry. And we grow up bottling up emotions, and then the way that we channel them, it becomes unhealthy. And that's why some guys are addicted to the gym, because that's the only way they can cry with under the guise of, you know, this is a heavy weight and all that. And resisting temptation with God's word, Matthew chapter 4, we see that strength is there displayed. He resisted the devil and also invested in brotherhood and mentorship, where he had his disciples, he mentored them, he taught them. So that is how Christ modeled healthy biblical masculinity, and that is what we are supposed to emulate and imitate.
Beautiful. And how can boys actually develop confidence in who they are beyond just what they look like physically?
True lasting confidence is built on a foundation of internal worth, not external validation. Now, here's how boys can actually cultivate it. We root identity in unchanging truth. We should help young boys to understand that their inherent worth, that their inherent worth is based on the fact that they are made in the image of God, Genesis 1:27, which is not based on performance or appearance. So their value is declared, not earned. That's what we need to teach them. Because when we go to the gym, we are earning something there. And if we tie our worth to that, then our worth is earned. And once that is lost, then we have nowhere. Changes, looks can change anytime. I mean, one can have an accident that basically disfigures them. And if their worth is based on their looks, then it's all gone. It evaporates. And then secondly, we need to cultivate this non-contingent self-worth, where we encourage activity that build a sense of competence and character, such as mastering a skill or a hobby, saving others through volunteering, setting and achieving meaningful personal goals, things that are meaningful and things that are practical.
Mm.
So once one has gotten to this point, nothing actually can shake them because they know that, look, I am made in the image of God. No one can take my worth or give me my worth except God. And secondly, they have a skill that they are mastering. You know, if anything goes, whatever way it goes, I know that this one thing, I know that I know it and I can do it anytime I'm called to do it.
Mm.
That gives a sense of self-worth. And then you also have what you call critical thinking, which is very, very important. By practicing critical thinking and self-compassion, we should teach young boys to challenge negative self-talk and curate their social media feed to include diverse body positive and uplifting content.
Yes.
No, because sometimes that's where we spend most of our time, and that is what actually subliminally is being communicated to our mind, that no, you don't look the part, you don't look the part, therefore you need to do this. And lastly, to seek healthy brotherhood, you know, where we encourage mentorship and friendships with other boys and men focused on mutual growth in character and faith. That is the way we can actually help our young men, our young boys, to become healthier and more masculine in a biblical manner or in a biblical sense.
Beautiful. And what role would you say faith and character play in defining what manhood is?
Faith and character are not just components of biblical manhood or biblical masculinity. They are its very essence, providing the why behind the what. Now, the foundation is being an image bearer.
Mm-hmm.
Every man's primary identity is being created in God's image. That is the primary identity,
mm-hmm.
which bestows inherent dignity and purpose. So we have inherently in us purpose and dignity because we are made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is Christ-likeness. So the what is the foundation? We are image bearers of God. We are made in God's image.
Mm.
Now, how do we get to that? Or why then should faith and character play a role in this? Because we are aiming to be like Christ. That is the goal. The purpose of a man's life is to be conformed to the character of Christ, to have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all this. There are true marks of maturity in every single person.
Mm.
And we work within this framework, the framework of faithful stewardship. Biblical manhood involves stewarding God-given responsibilities in work, in family, and in community, with love, with diligence, and humility.
Mm.
So these are the factors that we need to cultivate, and these are the factors that we need to look at when we consider how faith and character play a role in actually defining biblical manhood and helping people to actually meet the ideal of biblical manhood. And lastly, the most important one would be dependence on God, who is the source of strength. True masculine strength is the courage to admit weakness and depend on God's power. We shouldn't be the know-it-all and have it all the time, because that is not possible. It's only God who can actually give us that. And God in James chapter 1, verse 5 says that if anyone lacks wisdom, ask, and then it will be given. So when we don't know, we should say we don't know. When we can't do something, we say, no, here I am incapable of doing something. I need help.
Mm.
It is faith that enables a man to stand firm, to love sacrificially, and to lead with a servant's heart. And that all comes from God. Mm-hmm. That's how we basically become proper men according to the biblical standard.
Mm, that's powerful. That's beautiful. And as we're wrapping up, for the young men out there trying to figure out, you know, their identity or feeling pressure, societal pressure, to look a certain way, what word of advice, like a final word of advice, would you give to that young man as we wrap up?
I would say that let not society or the environment define what to be a man looks like or feels like. Turn to God, the Creator. Look at examples of men in the Bible that God said that this person is a good example. Look at the examples of Joseph, the examples of David, a man after God's own heart, the examples of Daniel, Moses, and many others. But most importantly, the example of Jesus, who's our example both in childhood, in youth, and in manhood. And when we focus our eyes on the prime example, then all the other noise around us will be hushed and we'll be able to meet God's ideal, and we'll escape many sorrows that come with trying to conform to the ever-changing standards of the society.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We appreciate you coming through. I think it's an important conversation to have, especially at the beginning of the year. You know, people have got their fitness goals that they've set for the year. I hope that the conversation would help them to align their goals so that they're not just based on physical appearance or societal expectations, but rather on what God expects of us. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much. And may God abundantly bless you.
Amen.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.